Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Being a competitor, going every week and fight. That's what it takes to be a competitor.
Cuts back at the five, drives to the end zone for the touchdown.
It's almost time for some football.
Everything you need for today's game, here.
On the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Atlanta, first and goal with 10. Gurley the carry at the five. Todd fell down. Did he fall down shy of the goal line, or did he score? No, he broke the plane of the end zone. Touchdown, Atlanta.
Number one, we've got to play well up front. And, you know, it's a very good defense against the run. They're physical. Defensive line's very physical. They've got two really fast and athletic linebackers. You know, so for us, it's going to be about getting hats on hats up front and making sure that we're giving our backs lanes and opportunities. And then our backs have to do a great job of finishing runs. Finding ways to get the dirty 2, 3, 4 extra yards at the end of runs. If they can get that going for us, which I thought we did a nice job of last week, that helps us.
It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P. Hugh Douglas here with you. Abe Gordon, our producer, did have to play that Detroit Lions accidental touchdown again just to trigger me. You were feeling some kind of way earlier. Now I'm feeling some kind of way.
I just didn't understand the whole I need to get bigger, stronger, faster thing.
I'm with you. I don't understand the margin for error is so thin, because I feel like that's a cliche we hear all the time, and that goes back to the question I asked you earlier. I said, are we close, or is it a mirage?
Well, you know what, to be honest, Willie P, I know it sounds like a cliche, but it's the truth, because I remember, you know, going back to my 1-15, 3-13, and 3-13 with the Philadelphia Eagles, how we were in a lot of close games. 3 points here, 6 points there. And when Andy Reid got there and we got a quarterback, we started to win those games. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, whether we want to admit it or not, a lot of times games in the NFL are more like the ones of last week, as opposed to blowouts.
Right.
Because, you know, when you talk about the athletes on both squads, it can become tight. You know, you talk about evenly matched up and things of that nature. So, you know, you get blowouts. There's blowouts in the NFL.
Yeah.
But most times, they're tightly contested games. They're three-point games.
Well, the reason the league is structured the way it is to, because of the salary cap. The salary cap keeps the league to where – the talent is not disparate from the best team to the worst team. They try to keep these teams as close together as possible.
Yeah. I mean, you know, every now and then you get those anomalies, you know, and, you know, talking to some of my friends, you know, from the Patriots and everything, you know, when we out gaming, you know, everybody's talking about how bad they are. And I'm like, dude, you benefited from a run that mm-hmm. probably won't be seen for a long time in the NFL. I think you need to understand that. You know,
and they had to miss on some guys eventually.
Yeah,
right?
And it's like he was talking about, well, you know, the fact that we don't have Tom Brady anymore, it just exposes how, you know, we don't have this on defense or we don't have that. Yeah, that's true. But when you talk about the structure of that team and what Tom Brady was doing, it allowed you to still be competitive. Because Tom wasn't breaking the bank every time he renegotiated his contract. Right. He didn't do that. He was taking a little bit less money because he understood that in order to be successful, that you have to have money to be able to spread it around. They did a good job of being competitive and having a great run. But Willie P, it don't work like that in the NFL. They figured out a way to make it work when that is not the model of the NFL. Because every year, you know, when you talk about quarterbacks making a ton of money, when a quarterback's making a ton of money, your team, more than likely your team's not that good. I mean, and that's just the way the NFL is structured. Think about it. Think about it, though. Think about that, though. When you talk about, say, the Rams.
Tell me more, you Douglas.
No, but think about it. When you talk about, like, say, the Rams. And yes. The Rams went to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Before they paid their quarterback, they had money to go out and go get these other players like Ndamukong Suh and all the other stuff. But when you start paying your quarterback, when your quarterback making Gripperton, like a lot of grip, it's harder to sustain that level of competitiveness when he's making all the money.
Dude, I feel like I had this discussion with Jarvis Davis in the offseason about how starting in 21, you're going to have Ryan and Julio making somewhere near 30 or 40% of the cap. I forgot what the percentage was. And I went back and crunched the numbers on the teams that win Super Bowls, and no team has won a Super Bowl in the last like 20 years with a quarterback having more than 20% of the team's cap.
You know,
and again,
what's funny?
It can be an anomaly.
Yeah,
but again, it's like that's just the way this works now.
You know what's funny? The Peanut Gallery has just chimed in. He said, Mahomes, they're still like the way that deal was structured for them. They're still going to be competitive for a few years, but you're going to start to see
they've
that.
They've got cap exacto knife people over there in Kansas City. They are playing 3D chess with the salary cap.
Yeah, and then Tyreek Hill going to want some money? You know, they just broke off what Chris Jones. He got paid, but like
– Clark just got paid too, I believe, yeah, as well.
This is the reason why it worked for them, because most of their big money guys were under contract before they gave Mahomes all that money.
Sure.
So they're in position to at least – they're in position this year to make another Super Bowl run. They probably got one more in them, and then that's going to become an issue. It's going to become a little bit of an issue.
Let's not act like there isn't a diminishing level of return coming up there and they have to pay the piper. Because, again, the same thing happened to us with the continued restructuring and renegotiating and kicking the can down the road with Matt and Julio's deals. And, of course, Julio wanted a new deal last year and got it. And, you know, we're obviously seeing the negative benefits of that. The biggest problem, though, on this team, it doesn't resolve with number two. It doesn't resolve with number 11. It affects those two, but the inability to run the football is a staggering thing right now for this football team.
And you know what? It's funny. People feel like we get a running back, we solve all our problems.
No.
Don't know about that. Don't know about that, Willie P. I think that, you know, offensively, we're a little stale, you know, a little stagnant, you know, where it feels – and this is a word that I do not like to use because, you know, I think back to the days when the Indianapolis Colts running the same old plays and still were having success. But we're a little predictable.
Yes.
You know, I pulled that one back.
But they had dudes with violent intentions.
Let me pull that back. Not predictable. We don't execute well. We don't execute well.
Yes.
And you have to figure out in this day and age, in this NFL, you have to figure out a way to do that or a way to get your guys to execute. And I know that's kind of hard because, you know, you hear coaches and everybody talk about how practices are different and it's hard to get that good work when you don't have shoulder pads on and things of that nature. So, you know, you have that. So it just all depends. We don't execute well. We really, really don't.
I don't want to make this sound disrespectful to Ito Smith because Ito came on and kept it real with us a couple weeks ago on Dukes and Bell. Great kid. the reason why Ito Smith is successful in this offense is because this offensive line can't create big enough holes for a guy like Gurley to run through. Todd Gurley needs bigger holes to run through because he's a bigger back. And if you get a guy like a Najee Harris or a Trey Sermon in here and do not commit to this offensive line, you're going to have the same damn problem next year that you've had this year in a running game that can't move the football.
Yeah, and I think you have to be creative. Like I always say, you have to have – you got to know your personnel.
Sure.
You have to know your guys. You have to know their strengths and their weaknesses and what makes them tick and put them in position to be successful. A lot of times watching the Falcons play, it feels like you're just throwing stuff against the wall. Hey, let's see if this will work. Let's do
another inside zone run.
I am not an offensive-minded person. I'm not. And I'm not about to sit here and act like I understand the intricacies of offense.
But you know as somebody
I know the
on
game.
Defense.
No, and I'm looking and like
– what can frustrate you, don't
so,
you?
So much so. No, let me tell you. Sometimes – and he could attest to this. Sometimes I hit Randy Mack up, and I'm like, Randy, hold up. Am I seeing this right? And he'll say, yeah, it's a little bit of that. He'll be like – because, you know, Randy is an – he played offense, and he understands sure. – he, like, as a tight end, he understands blocking schemes, and he understands things of that nature. So I will call and ask because I don't pretend to be the smartest guy in the room. So I'm going to ask – if I have a question, I'm asking. And I would text him and ask him, and he'd be like, yeah. Yeah, you're seeing that right, or something like that, or and he'll explain it, and I'm like, okay, just to make sure that I'm still on, you know, I'm still in tune to what's going on, because I'm like, wait a minute, because it just feels like sometimes that offensively, it's not even when you talk about the scripted first 15, first 10, or whatever you want to call it, however they do it nowadays, it doesn't feel like there's a plan or a framework to try to set something up for later. It's like, okay, we're going to run the ball. Oh, heck, the heck with the run. Throw it down the field. Let's see what we can do. Like, YOLO that's what ball. It feels like. That's what it feels like.
And, look, I understand a lot of this falls at the feet of Dirk Koetter. And believe me, I am not absolving him of a single darn thing. The play calling has been incredibly uninspired this entire season. Having said all that, I do believe that there is something to be said for the Alex Mack and over to the left side portion of the offensive line, whereas left guard, while Carpenter has been serviceable, he has had some breakdowns, and the guys behind him, when he's been hurt, have had major breakdowns. I feel like Hennessy is a building block. You're going to see him today in for Mack. And while Jake Matthews... you have money commanded to him, and he is what I would call an immovable object based on his salary, very much like Dante Fowler and some other guys on this team who are immovable objects. He's just okay in my mind.
I like him. I think he – like, this is my thing when it comes to Jake. I don't hear his name called a whole lot. So, to me, that's not – that's
pretty
darn good.
He's not committing penalties. And
he's not getting killed in the passing game. But I tell you this too, Willie P. If all I can do, if my end all to be all is to throw the ball all the damn time, then of course I'm going to expose my offensive line. I'm exposing.
Especially that backside guy.
Yeah, you're going to expose him because, you know, and part of that is the inability to run the football. I mean, I get all that. I mean, it's not just, you know, it's not just that they can't pass protect. It's the inability to run the football. It's the inability to fool anybody. Because when you run offense or when you call in plays, you execute plays, the one thing that you have that's to your benefit is that the defense doesn't know what you're going to do in most cases. And that's when you can catch them slipping. But with this offense, their inability to run the football as a defender – I'm not playing the run. I'm not. I'm going to play the run. I'm going to definitely play the run on the way to the pass because you're not – I'm not afraid of your run game. And if you get a good run and you get a first down, so be it. I know what you want to do. You want to throw the ball down the field. So what am I going to do? I'm playing pass all day. And if I make a couple tackles, then whip-de-doo. But I'm playing the run. I'm playing the pass. Excuse me. I'm playing pass. I am not respecting – your run game until you shove the run game down my throat.
One of the things the Falcons were doing over the last 2 weeks, I think in the first halves of games, is they were implementing run game concepts into their passing game, but they went away from it.
Yeah, because it's not – the run is not sexy. It's not. And it's not something – like the only team that I've ever known of, and I know other teams do it, like the Titans doing it this year. But back when I played Willie P, back in my day when we wore leather helmets, Pittsburgh Steelers – oh, they stay committed to the run.
You telling me Derrick Henry's not sexy?
Oh, it's ugly. It's ugly. Listen, the way he beast fools out there on the football field, it's not pretty.
I can watch him dudes in the helmet all damn day.
Yeah, it's not pretty, but it's effective. It's very, very effective. Last week, the Falcons rushed for 90 yards. 90.
We'll get to our keys to the game. We'll also give you an injury report, tell you who's going to be on the field and who's not. And our keys to a Falcons, well, do you want a victory? Keys to what you want to see today between the Falcons and the Buccaneers. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
On the left at the 5, drives for the touchdown at the pylon.
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Matt, guns it, caught, Hurst, touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. I mean, Jordan Whitehead was in pretty good position, and Ryan threw a rifle shot.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it's Super Bowl or bust. That's the goal every year. And you can't get to the Super Bowl if you don't get in the playoffs. You know, so getting into the playoffs was huge for us, and it's been a fun year. There's a lot of football left, and we're really excited to be playing.
Those are the words of Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians. Before that, of course, a Falcons highlight on the Falcons Radio Network. It is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P. Hugh Douglas here with you. We'll give you our keys to the game here in just a second. Do want to give you the injury update. For the Falcons, it will be no Julio Jones once again. That hamstring injury just proved to be too bulky for him to finish out the season on the field. No Brandon Powell, no Darqueze Dennard for a second consecutive week. Alex Mack also down for the second straight week, although a different ailment. He had concussion-like symptoms going into week 16. This week, he's on the reserve COVID-19 list, so our best wishes go out to him. Charles Harris did not practice all week because of a personal matter. He is questionable to play today for the Falcons. Bucks have a bunch of COVID-19 positives, or at least people on the COVID-19 reserve list, I should say. Shaq Barrett, Devin White, Steve McClendon, all on there for that reason. Also, no Kenyon Barner, the former Falcon and return specialist, man who also forgot the art of the fair catch. He is not going to play today. Defensive tackle Jeremiah Ledbetter also will not play. Carlton Davis at corner is questionable for the Bucks. Do you want to win this game?
Do I? It would be nice. It would be nice, you know, go out on a positive note, knowing that, you know, for us lately, that doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, going out on a positive note or having something to build on. But, yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice to have a nice little taste in your mouth going into the offseason.
Would be a first win ever against Tom Brady would be a nice thing for the Falcons. Though there are a lot of people, I'm not putting you or I in that category, but there are a lot of people who would much prefer this season finish at 4-12 rather than 5-11 because of certain draft implications that certainly happened here with the Falcons. This is the way that I feel about it. I think this team is more than one player away from becoming a contender. So while I certainly wouldn't mind having the equity up there, you only have 6 picks in this upcoming draft. In my mind, the move is going to be to trade down and get volume because you need more pieces to add to this football team. Mm-hmm. And with the cap constraints you're going to have this offseason, I feel like the best way to do that is to do so through the draft.
Yeah, you know, like Mike Conley tweeted this out like last night, and he said, here are the draft pick implications for the Falcons today. A loss, pick no lower than 4. A tie, pick no lower than 6. A win, pick no lower than 10. So, you know, with everything that we're talking about, if you lose, you're the number 4 pick. That puts you in position to get a pretty good player. You know, and I know a lot of people were tweeting out yesterday pictures of Justin Fields in a Falcons jersey and things mm-hmm. of that nature. It all depends on where you want to go, Willie P. I hear you about pieces and everything, and that would be great. But I think that Falcons fans, they want something right now. And this is the thing. The GM has to come in. The head coach has to come in. And, you know, whether or not we want to talk about it, you need to sell tickets too.
Sure.
Like, you know, we're in a position where, you know, the COVID has stricken us all. You know, it has hit us in the pockets, everybody. And so you want people to be excited about this upcoming season. You know, we got the vaccine and everything that John Fricke likes to talk about all the time. Shout out to my mm-hmm. man, John Fricke, and the fact that we want to try to get back to normal as quickly as possible. You want to do something to make a move that's going to get this fan base excited about, you know, getting back to football and getting back to normal.
Exactly. And
so
look,
all of that comes into play, brother.
I'm not going to sit here and say apathy is at a all-time high with this fan base, because I'm old enough to remember scenes inside the Georgia Dome when people were wearing paper bags over their heads and wearing Jeff George jerseys and Bobby Hebert jerseys. Like these are scenarios that are certainly vivid in your and my mind. But I also feel like there needs to be, I don't want to say a less sexy way, but I do feel like the best moves that are made are the ones that are done without fanfare. I do feel like whatever the philosophy is going into this offseason, you need to spend more of a fine-tooth comb examining the trenches of this football team. And those are the areas of the team you talked about earlier. It's not sexy. Well, guess what? We have lacked the soundness in the non-sexy parts of the game. We've got flash.
Mm-hmm.
We've got guys who can be skill position superstars in Ridley and Julio and Matt Ryan and some of these other guys who are on this team. It's the grit guys that we don't have.
You know what, Willie P, and I hear you. And I think that you could find, like, I don't like when I look at this offensive line, I don't see them being that far away from that if you get a run game. Like, listen, man, I remember playing against guys who I think it was Terry Glenn that played for the Indianapolis Colts, offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the most physical guy. He was no way, shape, or form a physical specimen. But he played well within that scheme. And when it came to in the way that they ran that scheme, he was good because they didn't expose him. Now I feel like his biggest weakness was his pass protection, but they ran the ball so well that when it came to throwing the football, he was protected because, number one, the quarterback got the ball out of his hands quick.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, they did a great job of making you guess what they wanted to do, because there were a lot of times where you thought it was in a third down situation where they were going to throw the ball. It was a run play or it was a screen play, something to slow the defense down. So with that being said, I feel like there are schematically, you could design plays and be creative in your play calling where you could, with a lesser offensive line, you could have success with, because you're not exposing them on every down. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with this offensive line. Again, it goes back to this. You can't run the ball. So I'm not going to respect the run at all. I am not respecting the run. I know for a fact when Ty Gurley comes to the game, you're pass protected. He might get the ball on a swing pass or a screen pass, something like that. He's not
What's
there.
That? We don't see those in this offense.
He's not running the ball. He's not. If he gets the ball between the tackles, then so be it. I'll take my chance. He's not that fast. No disrespect to Todd, but I can tackle him on my way to the quarterback. I'm playing pass all day. He's playing nothing but pass.
Is a screen pass that thing that the other team usually does where they throw the ball out in the flat and they get 20 yards because we over pursue? Is that what that
something
is?
Something like that. Yeah, okay. Something like that.
Because
yeah.
I don't see the Falcons do that at all.
No, because you know why it's hard to do? Because you can't run the ball.
I'm just saying. I don't mean to.
No, I mean
I don't mean to be treating you like a hostile witness here.
No, you're fine. You're fine. It's just that it is what it is. It's one of those things, man. Like for me, football is instinct.
Sure.
And if I know that you can't run the ball, guess what I'm doing? I'm coming up the field every play. I'm not reading keys. Mm-hmm. I'm lining up and I'm teeing off on you.
Sure.
Because I know there's nothing you can do about it. You're not, listen, your bread and butter is trying to chuck the ball down the field. And that's what you're going to do. That's all you want to do. You just want to chuck it down the field. Okay, that's fine. I'm coming after you every play.
Enough negativity. I do want to focus on what we will see today, because in the first half of the game against Tampa Bay 2 weeks ago, we looked about as good as you could the entire season. I think that first drive against Tampa Bay was the best drive the Falcons had all season, and you felt rather pretty going into the half against a team that looked like they were either going through the motions or couldn't execute. How much of that can you bottle up and take into this game today with the pieces you'll have at your disposal?
You know what, Willie P? With this team, it's never the first half that I'm worried about. Like, I'm okay. Like, the way that they've played, give me any first half that they've had all season. I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second half. It's the second half, Willie P. It's when you come back and everybody sit around and they get to see what you're trying to do. That's the problem. Offensively, you become stagnant for whatever reason. Defensively, all of a sudden you can't get to the quarterback. Give me like the most frustrating thing about watching Falcons games for me this year is, like, say for instance we're up 2 touchdowns,
mm-hmm.
and I walk away from the screen. I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's cute.
That's very nice.
But what about the damn it? What we gonna do in the second half? or damn it, we've seen this before. So let me go ahead and go to the store, because I know in the second half when I come back.
There were times I've sat there with Julianne. And she's like, "You're not going to do it again, are they?" I'm like, "I know better.
Listen,
I know
this
better."
This team, like as a player, as a former player, I have to wonder, like, okay, as a guy that played in the locker room and being in a situation like that where it's happened to you so many times, you have to think that somewhere in that locker room, somebody's saying, "Damn. How are we gonna screw this up? How are we gonna screw this one up this week? How is it gonna happen this
week?"
Well,
how hard tangibly is that to put your finger on and stop? It's like stopping an open wound.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because you know it's coming. Like, you get to the point, Willie P, you know it's coming. You just don't know how and what form it's coming in. But you know it's coming because this is what we do. And that has to be frustrating. You know, going into the game and you're like, okay, how are we gonna screw this one up? How are we gonna blow this one? And, you know, it's been so, like, there has to be a Guinness Book of World Records for the way that you've blown leads this year. Has to be.
I mean, the Falcons' second halves are like what happens when I cut myself shaving, and you can't get the blood to stop bleeding.
Yeah, and you're putting all the little tissue on your face.
Tissue
or whatever.
Paper,
yeah.
I've heard that's good for that?
As a player, you're going, think about it. You're somebody in that locker room at some point and say, hey, it's not going to be like it was last week.
Guess what?
Yes, it is.
Abe Gordon wanted me to remind you about those first halves. They did trail 20-3 in that Packer first half on Monday Night Football.
How many games?
He didn't want to say that. That was one. I think the first half of the first Saints game.
Hey, thanks a lot, Abe. Thanks a lot, Abe. Thanks. One whole game.
He's about to make always keeping. Always keeping us on our toes, even in week 17. By the way, a guy who always keeps us on our toes as well is the guy we bring on next, our usual weekly chat and our final one of the 2020 season with Steve Ewing, the president and CEO of Wade Ford, when he joins us next on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta sports doesn't stop for the weekend.
Heck yeah.
And neither do we.
Keeping you up to date all weekend long.
It's just great.
On the weekends, that's all I listen to, really.
The home for Atlanta sports on the weekends. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's go, go, go!
Time to check in with the big boss man himself.
The man who knows all things cars and Falcons.
The president and CEO of Wade Ford, Steve Ewing.
On the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As the calendar turns from 2020 to 2021, no better time for you to send yourself over to Smyrna or to WadeFord.com and get you a brand new automobile courtesy of the fine folks at Wade Ford. The man who is the president and CEO of Wade Ford joins us every week at this time to talk Falcons with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on the WadeFord.com hotline. Steve Ewing is our guest. Good morning, Steve. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy New Year to you. Man, is it time for us to turn the page on 2020 for so many reasons. I mean, we sit back and talk about football, politics, pandemic, all these things that are affecting us, and it's time for us to all move on. So I'm moving on. I've turned the page. I've, like many people, decided that I was going to make some my own commitments to how I'm going to improve myself in 2021. Mm-hmm. And control the things that I can control. That's all you can do. And the things that you can hold yourself accountable to. So that word keeps coming up in my life because in many cases, there's times where I failed on my own personal accountability. And I plan on improving that in 2021 to hold myself accountable. I also wanted to say deepest sympathy to the loss of a dear friend of mine, Floyd Little, who was a Hall of Famer in the NFL, played for the Denver Broncos, and he passed away on New Year's Day. And Floyd was a great, great man and a mentor to me. As a matter of fact, he had been a car dealer out in the West Coast. And when I was early on in my stages and I was struggling in the inner city dealership that I had, Floyd Little was one of the people that went to Ford Motor Company and said, hey, you got this guy in a bad spot. And he really advocated for me. So anyway, I just wanted to say that, and best to his family.
Certainly so.
Definitely.
So guys, today, okay, this is the last time many people will be wearing a Falcon uniform. When you think about the last time you put on a uniform, Hugh Douglas, mm-hmm. The last time you can remember that this was the last time you were going to have on a uniform, and it was based on your decision, not the decision of other people. Tell me how that feels.
Oh, Steve, my situation is a little bit different because mine was the last preseason game that I played for in Philadelphia, excuse me. We played against New York Jets, and I just kind of knew that for me that was it, you know, the last ride. You know, knowing that my career was winding down and things of that nature, it's a somber feeling, man. I mean, and you know, to your point, a lot of these guys at the end of this game, they're going to be moving on, you know, because, I mean, and they know that. And I'm pretty sure that Coach Morris has discussed that with them, letting them know that, you know, hey, there's probably going to be – this organization is probably going to move in a different direction, and you might not be here. And the one thing that I remember vividly – that was told to me many years ago by Chris Carter. You take two things away from this game, money and memories, and you try to get as much both of them as you possibly can. You know, money and memories.
Wow. Well, I find it interesting when you think about at what age young men start to play football. Now, a lot of young boys are starting a little later, but when I think about how young I was when I first put on what I call the football costume. It wasn't even a uniform. It was a football costume. I was that small, and I was excited about the game. My father taking me out to Yankee Stadium, where the New York Giants used to play, out in on a dirt football field, and see Fran Tarkington as a quarterback. That's how old I am. And I'm telling you those little stories as a little boy and having him wrap me up in a blanket and he and his friends passing a bottle of brandy back and forth. That's what I remember. Now that people have been doing this all their life, and that this could be the last time they do this. I always tell people you have to prepare your life for things beyond necessarily what you know. Your life may take you in a different direction. And I pray that many of them, the men who aren't going to move forward, whose last day it will be to actually even wear a uniform, have prepared their lives for a brighter future.
Certainly. Looking at that, Steve, unlike you, I was told to never put on a football uniform ever again at a much younger age. So I'll at least say that. And basically at 18, they said, yeah, Will, you can't do this for a living. You're done, sir. But I do want to ask you, because you're one of the biggest Falcon fans that I know, Steve, and how do you assess the dichotomy of we only get 16 of these games, you want to feel like you want to win every game, yet you know that a defeat in this contest against Tampa Bay could provide some sort of better footing for the future, given where we could be picking in the draft in this upcoming season?
Well, I will tell you that I never opened up Wade Ford and never put the key in the door to not win. So at the end of the day, I expect everybody to do their best every day. And although there are some things, again, we talked about things that are out of our hands and things you can't control. We can't control what other teams win, who loses, what the mathematical equation will be to put us at a better place in the draft, because there are other factors beyond us. What we can control is how we conduct ourselves day to day. And I think that every time, and for those who are going to be going on elsewhere, people are going to look at your scope of work. And I'm judged every day by my scope of work by Ford Motor Company. Ford Motor Company makes cars, and they expect me to sell them. And they judge me, and I'm required to report to them daily on my performance. I hold the people at Wade Ford, I hold them accountable for their performance, both in sales and in service and in fleet and in used cars and in parts and in service. Everybody has an obligation to do their job. So, Willie, I get it. I understand how some people can look at it in certain ways. I just have to put faith that, you know, the things will fall our way. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, this team, one person necessarily isn't going to make everything. You know, I started hearing things about the Clemson quarterback should be planning on looking at real estate down in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Who knows? What we do know is that we have to go face this team today. We have to put our best foot forward today. I want this team to win today. I'm not wishing for a loss today. I am a big Falcon fan. I love this team. I love the owner of this team. And I truly, truly hope that this football club will make the necessary changes, whatever they are, to give us a better product next year. I look forward to being out in that parking lot and being there with you guys. And I told you guys that we re-upped our deal with 92.9 for the future, and I'm excited about that. Thank you, Daryl. And we're excited about the partnership. We're excited about a Falcons football season. I hate that I have to wait this long, but I really am excited about people getting those who choose to get vaccines, get vaccinated, and we're in a better position to be able to be around each other next year.
You're a class act, Steve. We certainly have appreciated the partnership. We hope to continue it, and we are glad that we're continuing it next year and hopefully for more years to come. And hopefully we're talking about some wins coming up here in the 2021 season.
Definitely.
Well, Willie P., you did the right thing, man. You may not be played football, but you're a total pro. Hugh, I love you, brother, and I wish you guys nothing but the best. Hey, Hugh, your Broncos coming. Remember that.
Oh, yeah. Make I definitely it happen. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Make it
can't
happen.
Wait.
Thank you, Steve.
Take care, guys.
Have a good one.
That is Steve Ewing, the president and CEO of Wade Ford. Our final thoughts of the 2020 season, Falcons and Buccaneers, Week 17. He will give us our predictions for the game today here on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, and Radio.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!